Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, September 8th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. And football is back. My Minnesota Vikings just won. They were successful in the season debut against the New York Giants. It was a great performance. I am very, very hyped up for the Vikings this season. And I do have a lot on the line this season when it comes to the Vikings. So wish me luck throughout the year when it comes to my Minnesota Vikings, but happy NFL season to everybody who's listening. And if you're not an NFL fan, I get it as well. I know not everyone listens to this once you hear me talk about football, so I won't. I'll leave it at that. But I hope everyone, once again, had a great weekend. And we got a lot to talk about in today's episode. Last night was AEW All Out, which I thought was a great show. I'll be talking about that and reviewing, you know, all the major stuff that came out of that show. And then, of course, Dynamite coming up on Wednesday. On Thursday morning, on the Spotlight on Fightful, every Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, that is myself and Jeremy. We are talking the world of wrestling, and we'll definitely talk about All Out, but, you know, this isn't the show for that. Just want to let y'all know, if you want to hear me talk about All Out, I will talk about it on Thursday morning on the main Fightful YouTube channel. But when it comes to today's show and the Weekender podcast, we got the topics, and we'll jump right into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for MLW Summer of the Beast Part 2. I'll also do predictions for MLW Fightland, which is coming up next weekend, but it'll be before you hear me on the Weekenders, so we'll do the predictions today for that show. I also have results for SCI Battle for Sail Creek, BLP Crowning Glory, HOG Chicago, JCW Lunacy 2, this is JCW Juggalo Championship Wrestling. We have Glory Pro Ascend, episode 49, First Wrestling's Saturday Night Nitro. That show has not aired to my knowledge, but I have the results for you on today's show. And then I'll wrap up today's episode with results for NXT Level Up, and we'll get on out of here. So, a lot of results on this edition of the Weekender, and also some predictions for MLW Fightland. But before we get to Fightland, we got to talk about what happened on Summer of the Beasts Part 4. Which we're going to do right now. So first set of results is MLW Summer of the Beast Part 4. This is available for free on the MLW YouTube channel. And this aired last night, but it was taped on the 29th of last month. So about a week or so ago, they taped this. We talked about Summer of the Beast Part 1 on last edition of the Weekender. And, you know, now we're at Summer of the Beast Part 2. And this is the last stop before MLW Fightland. So, once again, if you want to check the show out, this is available completely for free on the Major League Wrestling YouTube channel, and it took place from the Melrose Ballroom in New York City, New York. These are the results. Only had three matches on this show. First one was Dummy Exo over Miyu Yamashita. The finish here were the henchmen on the outside with Dummy. They pop her shoulder back into place, like she's on the inside of the ring and they're on the outside. They grab her arm and kind of like yank it so that like her shoulder pops back in, and then she reverses a fireman's carry attempt into a Dummy driver and gets the 1-2-3. So once again, Dummy Exo over Miyu Yamashita. After that, we had Mads Cruel Kruger defeating Mr. Thomas. Mr. Thomas had Alex Kane in his corner. The finish here was Kwan, well, of course, one of the members of Contra Unit, does the mist to the face of Mr. Thomas. So Kwan like runs to the outside of the ring and does the mist, and then that leads right into Cruel hitting Scorched Earth and pinning Thomas for the 1-2-3. And of course, Cruel will be challenging Satoshi Kojima at Fightland for that MLW World Championship. So I'll give you the predictions on that here in just a moment. And the main event of the show for Summer of the Beast Part 2 was Bobby Fish over Timothy Thatcher. Best way I can describe the finish here is basically Timothy Thatcher accidentally shoves the ref, kind of like he's attacking Fish in the corner and the ref's behind him, and he kind of shoves him out of the way. And during this somewhat of like a distraction, the referee not being able to see, Bobby Fish dick kicks Thatcher and does a schoolboy roll up, pins him, gets the win. And after the match, Brett Ryan Gosselin, BRG, does a promo on the entrance ramp, and he basically says they are the epitome of excellence, him and Bobby Fish, and Bobby Fish and BRG celebrate to end the show. Now, moving on into the actual Fightland predictions, this show is going to be coming up on September 14th, and it'll be from Center Stage in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to be there or not, but if I'm there, I'll definitely let y'all know, and I'll try to get like some interviews and stuff. Regardless, I do plan on having some MLW, you know, affiliated people on the spotlight in upcoming weeks. You know, if things work out, we should be able to get some coverage of Fightland from some of the people that were on the show. We recently had Mads Cruel Krueger on the spotlight just within the last few weeks. So if you want to know more about him on a personal level, in a professional level as well, he talks a lot about his career during our interview. But he did the interview with us out of character, without the mask. So if you want to know more about the human being behind Cruel, who of course is still the reigning defending undisputed IWTV Independent Wrestling World Champion as well right now, you know, check that episode of the Spotlight out. It's over on the main Fightful YouTube channel. That said, Atlanta, Georgia, Center Stage, it's like my favorite venue for wrestling in Atlanta. My favorite venue for wrestling anywhere is the Basement East in Nashville, Tennessee. Shout out Southern Underground Pro. Y'all have heard me talk plenty about, you know, that company over the years and how much I love the Basement East. But if you want to know more about that, by the way, we interviewed Ben Bostonuga over on the Spotlight this past week. And he is a super fan, especially of like the Southeast indie scene. But he travels all over the place pretty much every weekend. He's at an indie show or multiple indie shows. And yeah, if you want to know more about some of our favorite venues, check out the most recent edition of the Spotlight on Fightful, myself, Jeremy, and Ben. All right, let's get into the predictions here for MLW Fightland. We got Akamura versus Adam Priest. Y'all know me. I would love to see Adam Priest win. I'm a huge Adam Priest mark. We've interviewed Adam Priest multiple times for the Spotlight. I've actually done some solo interviews with him as well over on right here on FightfulSelect.com. Over the years, at shows like Battle Slam out of Atlanta. But, you know, I'm super biased here. Akamura, if this was, and this is not gambling advice, nothing I ever tell y'all ever, by the way, whether it's here on The Weekender or over on The Spotlight, nothing I say is ever official gambling advice. I just want to make that super, super clear. But when I say, like, if I was betting on this match, you know, I don't mean it literally, okay? But I'm saying Akamura would be the massively heavy favorite in this match, right? He's established in the company, just recently was one half of the MLW Tag Team Champions with the current champion, Satoshi Kojima. But Adam Priest has been getting some work in MLW recently. He's been popping up in really, you know, a lot of companies. He's done stuff with Ring of Honor, but, you know, he's been a staple, like he's been one of, the best way I can say it, he's been one of the best, quote-unquote, indie guys for a while now in the world. And it would be huge for him in his career if he can get a win over Akamura on MLW. My official prediction has to be Akamura, but my heart is with Adam Priest. I hope that Adam, as a fan of any style Adam Priest, I hope he defeats Akamura. But once again, one half of Cozy Max. It's tough to bet against Akamura, but hey, this might be a really bad show for Cozy Max when you really think about it, because I'll get to the main event here in a moment. But official prediction, screw it. It doesn't matter. This isn't gambling advice. There's no money being involved. I'm taking Adam Priest. Screw it. Next match we have is Timothy Thatcher versus Donovan Dijak. Thatcher coming off of that loss I was just talking about to Bobby Fish on Summer of the Beast Part 2. I think that it's pretty clear that Dijak's going to win this match, considering the build and the countdown clock and everything heading into his debut with the company. And, you know, Thatcher's one of the best technical wrestlers you can find out there. You know, obviously everyone knows that, credit where it's due for Thatcher's, you know, technical ability. But, you know, they've been building the debut of Dijak. I don't know how permanent or, like, how consistent, whatever you want to call it, Dijak's going to be with MLW. You know, a lot of their top talent right now and historically speaking has not had like exclusive deals with them. And Dijak has been popping up in a lot of other companies as well. Like, we're going to talk about him through some other results, you know, on today's Weekender alone. You know, we have multiple shows he was a part of. So I'm interested to see how committed he is to MLW and how committed they are to pushing him, like, and like to what degree. But I'd imagine, given the build of him, the way he was brought in, I'm going Dijak over Thatcher in this one. After that, we've got the Andersons, Brock and C.W. Anderson, versus the Boumaier Fight Club team of Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas. I talked on last week's episode of The Weekender about how much I liked the pairing of C.W. Anderson and Brock Anderson, especially now that, you know, C.W. for so long, you know, he still isn't by blood, but part of that Anderson family that, you know, Brock and Arn are a part of. Even like in like the wrestling lore version that includes like Ole and stuff, I don't think that C.W. is a part of that. I just remember C.W. mainly from his run in ECW, but I know he's been around and doing stuff because we occasionally cover him. He'll pop up on like an indie show here or there. He's been doing stuff like fairly consistently over the years, but he is not in that Anderson bloodline. But now he is in a tag team with Brock Anderson that I think is beneficial to both guys. It would be very beneficial for Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas to get this win, though, considering Alex Kane, of course, was recently the MLW World Heavyweight Champion. But, you know, I could still see a feud between Mr. Thomas and Alex Kane happening at some point in the near future. You know, I don't know. I think that Brock Anderson and CW would really, really benefit from winning the match. And I do, like I said, I like them a lot as a tag team. I'm going to say something happens between Boumaier Fight Club, some sort of miscommunication or something. I'm actually going to take the Andersons in this one and what I would consider to be a pretty big upset. After that, we've got the Opera Cup semifinals. This is non-title, so Mystico versus Bad Dude Tito. Non-title, neither guy's championship on the line here. As you know, none of the titles have been on the line throughout the Opera Cup tournament. This is a tough one. I'm gonna take Bad Dude Tito. He's been on a run. So is Mystico. So is anybody who's this far in the semis at this point in the Opera Cup. But I don't know. I just feel like in general, Bad Dude's been on a great run in MLW, and Mystico has as well. But I feel like Mystico can maybe afford the loss more. Like there's kind of like more side quests I feel like Mystico can be a part of because of like his character, his background, the title belt he holds and stuff like that. There's just like maybe a different lane than having to win the Opera Cup. Whereas I feel, and also Mystico in the grand scheme of things is a lot more established than Bad Dude Tito is, like, you know, career wise Mystico is more established, you know, as far as that goes. So I think that getting this far and Bad Dude maybe even winning the Opera Cup would be a big career highlight for him, and more of like a launching pad for him too. I've said for a long time, because I've been a fan of his for quite a while, I remember years ago really being impressed also with his work in Bloodsport, like the early Bloodsport shows. You know, Tito is a guy who's got a great moveset, and I've been impressed by him for quite some time. So I'm going to take Bad Dude Tito to advance to the finals. And then the other Opera Cup semifinal match we have is TJP versus Kenta. I'm going to take Kenta. TJP's had a good run in the tournament. And Kenta, you know, it would take me an entire whole hour of this show to just talk about the lore of Kenta and, like, who he was, you know, in the world of wrestling prior to signing to the WWE and going to NXT and becoming Hideo Itami, and then what he's done since leaving, and whether, you know, potential was achieved or not, and whether it is currently or whatever. That's like a really heavily debated thing, I think, within like the wrestling, the online wrestling community fan base. I feel like Kenta and his whole career in a nutshell is like very debatable amongst the fans, but, you know, he's still a great talent and he's still very over. You know, and I think TJP is a guy who, you know, there's a lot of reasons to love him, a lot of reasons to dislike him. Some have to do with wrestling, some don't, you know what I mean? Like, but I think that at the end of the day, he's a guy who always has been very, very, very talented in ring. He was the first Cruiserweight Classic, or I guess I only did the one Cruiserweight Classic, but he won the Cruiserweight Classic. And I remember that being a really big deal at the time. And I was a fan of his pre-Cruiserweight Classic as well. I mean, he's a guy who's always been super talented in the ring, as I said. So, but I'm going to take Kenta. So that would put the Opera Cup Finals match in my fantasy booking here, my bracketology. We'd have Kenta versus Bad Dude Tito in the main event. Or sorry, not the main event, the finals. Which I'm assuming probably won't be the main event, because I think the main event will be the world title. I'm going to take Bad Dude Tito to win this whole thing for all the reasons that I said before. I just feel like he's a guy who could just really, really benefit from winning this thing, and he's already really believable with where he's at. And it also elevates his title belt as well, you know, for those same reasons, because Mystico and Bad Dudito are already champions. Maybe it makes more sense for TJP or Kenta to win this thing, I don't know, but, you know, there's also a lot of championships in MLW in general, so that is what it is. But you know what, I'm gonna take Bad Dude to win the whole thing. And the last match I see here, which I'm assuming is the main event, is going to be MLW World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Satoshi Kojima defending his championship against Mads Cruel Kruger. I feel like, you know, I'm obviously a bit biased when it comes to Cruel. I'm a big fan of his, and I feel like he should be the MLW World Champion based on the build and where he's at in the company right now. I've said it before, and he said it in my interview, so I'm comfortable talking about it. He is not under MLW contract, and, you know, but he is very, very loyal in the sense that, like, he's not going to bail on plans that they have for him. So whatever they've agreed to do, he's going to be doing, and that could last a long time. That could, you know, he just wants to keep his options open, is literally exactly what he said. Just wants to keep his options open. But he is very much enjoying his time right now in MLW, and he's been getting massively pushed. The Contra unit has been built around him. Obviously, you know, previously Jacob Fatu was the leader of the group, and he basically took it over from him. He was Jacob Fatu's last match in MLW before going off to the WWE. So, you know, Cruel, they have invested a lot in and built around, and whether he's under contract or not, or whatever his deal is with them, I feel like he needs to win this match. I mean, it's just time. Kojima's done a good job with the championship. You know, I thought when he won it from Alex Kane, it came out of nowhere, in my opinion. Like, that's at least how it felt. I've always liked Kojima, but I felt like Alex Kane was having a good run with the title, and there was no reason to end it when they ended it. This is my personal opinion. But since winning the championship, Kojima has done well with the title. But, you know, the other thing in the back of my mind is Matt Riddle, which, he isn't listed on the matches here, and I'm probably just spacing on what he's doing on the show. But, you know, I just feel like it's, you know, it's unlikely he wouldn't be on the show, because he's the only guy who's been built to the level of where I think that he would be the one to beat Kojima if it isn't Cruel. But it's also possible he's not on the show. You know, I don't know. Maybe what they're going to wind up doing is Cruel beats Kojima here on Fightland, and then eventually Matt Riddle takes down Cruel to become the MLW champion. You know, I don't know. I just feel like it was a foregone conclusion that Riddle was going to be the champion soon based on, you know, the wins he's been racking up, you know, the positioning. You know, it just really seems like everything's lined up to where he's going to be the next MLW world champion, or a world champion for them in the near future. But at the same time, Cruel has been totally unstoppable, and I don't see a reason to have Kojima be the one to take down Cruel. The only reason I would want to see Cruel lose, well, even then I don't know if I'd want to see him lose necessarily, but, you know, the only thing that would make sense for me is if, like, he's leaving the company, I would assume he'd leave on his way, or lose on his way out, but I don't think that's what's happening right now. They've invested, once again, they've invested way much into Cruel, I think, at this point, to not go all the way with him. So my official prediction is Mads Cruel Kruger leaves Atlanta, Georgia, and MLW Fightland as the new MLW World Heavyweight Champion. And then my prediction on top of that is that eventually Matt Riddle is probably going to be the one to beat him for that championship. All right, moving on. We have more results. We got SCI, the Battle for Sail Creek. This is Scenic City Invitational from Sail Creek, Tennessee. Our buddy Ben Bostonuga was live at this show. Just telling y'all, we interviewed him last week. So if you want to know a little bit more about his, you know, hype level heading into this show and some of the talent we're going to be talking about, definitely, I can't stress it enough, please check out those interviews we're doing over on the Spotlight on the main Fightful YouTube channel. These are the results for SCI, the Battle for Sail Creek. It's available over on independentwrestling.tv. Show aired last night, and you can use code FIGHTTALK on IWTV, FIGHTTALK, all as one word, no spaces. Let the people over at IWTV know that I'm sending you their way. Just put that in the promo code spot on the website, Fight Talk. First match we had on the show, we got Tim Bosby over Jeremiah Plunkett. Finish here was Bosby reversing a pile driver with a back body drop. He drops his straps down, hits an F5, follows up with cattle mutilation and forces Plunkett to tap out. Big win for Tim Bosby. He has been quickly rising the ranks in the Southeast scene in these SCI shows. Big win. Got to be considered an upset victory over Jeremiah Plunkett, considering Plunkett's more veteran status. You know, at this point, Plunkett has been wrestling for 19 years, according to Cage Match, whereas Bosby has been going for 2 years and has only just recently been on anyone's radar, as far as, you know, at least on my radar. He had to have been on someone's radar before he was on my radar, of course, to get booked and, you know, be on a show that I watched him at. And, you know, those people who saw him before I did were people like Dylan Hales and Scott Hensley and people that are booking these types of shows. And Tim Bosby, very, very talented guy who looks like he has a very bright future. So get in early on knowing about Tim Bosby and becoming a fan of him. Once again, he gets the win over Jeremiah Plunkett by submission with cattle mutilation. After that, we had a four-way match where Finesse defeats Anakin Murphy, Damon Stryker, and Mackenzie Morgan. The finish here was an axe kick by Finesse onto Damon Stryker, getting the 1-2-3. After that, we had Sean Campbell over Cousin Condry. The finish of this one was pretty innovative. I'm not going to be able to do it justice, but basically Sean Campbell grabs Condry by the arm, and then he runs through the ropes to the outside, pulling Condry's arm so that Condry hits the ropes really hard. And then Campbell gets back into the ring by springboarding off the bottom rope into a stunner, and then hits a top rope moonsault, pins Condry 1-2-3. It tickled me a little bit that Mose was on the call for this show, our buddy Jumpin' Johnny Mosley. And he's got a little history of, I didn't know about Cousin Condry until he told me about a storyline that Condry was involved in, a year or two ago. And I think it's funny that now Mose is calling Condry matches in SCI, which just feels like things are just coming full circle. After that, we had the action title on the line. We had one called Manders defending, retaining over Adam Priest by disqualification. This feud's been going on for a little while now. It really started heating up. They had some history, but it really started heating up after Priest won the SCI tournament this year and attacked Manders with his trophy. And that continued on here. So what winds up happening at the end of the match is Manders is outside of the ring and the ref's counting to 10. He gets to 9. Manders slides into the ring, and right when he does, Adam Priest whacks him with his SCI trophy, and then that causes the DQ, and then he DDTs him on top of the Action World title belt, and then he stabs him in the head with his trophy. So looks like things are not over between Manders and Adam Priest, but Manders does leave this show still the Action World champion. After that, we had a dog collar match where Mad Dog Connolly defeats Aaron Wade. Mad Dog Connolly continues to just increase his reputation amongst the indie scene as the guy who's basically becoming known as the dog collar match guy. He's doing these types of matches, and the Action Dean match gets talked about a lot because it was a real launching pad for him and in his career, and him being known for these types of matches. He's been losing a lot of them, recently, but he gets the win here over Aaron Wade. This was great stuff, and just I don't even know what the right word is, the buzz around Mad Dog is really growing right now because of the performances he's putting on. And it's cool because he's carving this kind of niche for himself within, within the scene, and I'm interested to see where things go from here for him. That can be a blessing or a curse, probably, right now it's probably awesome being known as the dog collar match guy, because everywhere you get booked, they're expecting you to go out there and do what you've been doing. But that's also that's a brutal style, it's a brutal way to do this. But at the same time, there's plenty of people making great livings and, doing great for themselves and have had great careers doing those types of matches and doing death matches. And, a lot of the stuff that we cover and, stuff that I respect, obviously, wrestling can be different for everybody. That's not to say that Mad Dog isn't good in the ring. He's actually very good in the ring. I've seen plenty of matches of his that weren't, dog collar matches. But, as of late, we've definitely been talking about a lot of Mad Dog Connolly dog collar matches, right? But he gets a win here over Aaron Wade. The finish here, the best way I can basically describe what happens is, you know, Aaron Wade has the dog collar around his neck, and Connolly throws Aaron Wade over the top rope and basically hangs Wade with it, and Aaron Wade has to, they kind of cut off for a second. I think he tapped out, but either way, Matt Griffin, you know, comes out and like calls everything off. Matt Griffin being one of the, well, the guy who runs Action Wrestling, but also helps run SCI. So, you know, this was good stuff, and Connolly winds up, you know, unhooking Aaron Wade from the dog collar, and that's that. Mad Dog gets the big win once again in the dog collar match. After that, we had a tag team match where Jameson Shook and Rachel Armstrong defeated BK Westbrook and Ella Envy. BK and Ella, a real-life couple, I believe, if I am not mistaken. So, best of luck to them in both of their careers, because both of them are super, super talented. And I've noticed that, you know, they've been wrestling a lot of the same shows recently and teaming up and stuff. So, a lot of talent right there. As far as the match itself, the finish of this one was basically Armstrong and Envy kind of fight their way to the outside. Like, Armstrong kind of, like, eliminates Envy from the match, and it's left for Shook and Westbrook in the ring, and Jameson Shook hits a psycho driver onto Westbrook and gets the 1-2-3. And the main event of the show, it was a 6-person tag team match where the Coven of the Goat, the team of Azrael, Nathan Mowry, and Tank defeat the Good Hand team of Casey Owens, Shug D, and Tyler Stevens, aka The Wall. The finish of this one was Mowry doing a flaming elbow drop off the top rope through a table onto Casey Owens and getting the win for Coven of the Goat. Very similar to the finish of the one of the finishes of the War Games match. I mean, there was only one finish of the match, but there was like a lot that happened to set up the eventual finish. One of the things that happened in that War Games match towards the end of the match set up the finish. That's what I'm trying to say, is Mowry hitting that top rope flaming elbow drop, and I like that he's doing that more and more often now. That's a badass finisher. I love the top rope elbow. It's one of my favorite moves in the history of wrestling. As a matter of fact, Randy Savage's version of the move is literally my favorite move in the history of wrestling, Randy Savage's top rope elbow. So if people have good top rope elbows, I'm a fan of that, and when you do it with a flaming elbow, literally fire to the elbow, love it. Great stuff. Once again, Coven of the Goat get the win in the main event of SCI, the battle for Sail Creek. Moving on, I got results for BLP. This is Black Label Pro Crown and Glory. Show is available completely for free on the Black Label Pro YouTube channel. This was on September 4th, live from Logan Square Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. And these are the results. Show started off with Sean Ross Sapp coming out to the ring. He's out there with the former Mojo Rawley, and SRS is on the microphone. There is going to be a combine throughout the show, various talents that are going to do NFL combine style competitions to crown the winner of the BLP combine. So that'll happen throughout the show. And to kind of set things up, SRS talks about how he should be a part of the combine, and, you know, basically explains why he should be in there and why other people aren't going to be good at it. Also talks about how he reported Mojo from being fired from the WWE. Says it right to his face, which is very funny. And then SRS eventually gets hit by a pounce, and that's that. But Sean took that like a champ. And I know Sean is a lifelong fan of the alpha male Monty Brown, so I'm sure he was honored to take a pounce, you know, from the former Mojo Rawley. As far as the first match of the show, we have Mustafa Ali over Saban Gage. The finish of this one was a top rope sunset flip bomb by Ali, followed up by a sharpshooter, and Ali forces Gage to get the tap out win. After that, we had Parker Boudreau over Nate Cobain. The finish here was a, I don't know what he calls it, but it's like a belly-to-back Uranage. It's the best way I can describe it. I guess like a setup for a belly-to-back suplex, but the landing is more like a rock bottom or like a Uranage. It's a 1-2-3 with that. After that, we had Hot Commodity, the team of Hayden Backlund and Trevor Outlaw, over Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang, the former Bang Bros. The finish of this one was a reversal of the Spears Tower, and after the reversal, Trevor Outlaw stack pins Matthews with his feet on the ropes, and Outlaw holds his feet for like the extra leverage. So super dirty pin by Hot Commodity, gets the big win over Bing and Matthews. I forgot to mention that before this match, they started the BLP Combine. Some of the people that were in this, like we had the former Riddick Moss, we had Jordan Grace in there, Moose was in there. A lot of really talented performers and athletic people were in this thing. I don't have the whole list in front of me, but once again, that happened throughout the show. Next match we had was the BLP Midwest title on the line in a 7-way scramble match. Myron Reed defeats Damian Real, Damon Real, Davey Vega, Eli Isom, Matt Mikowski, who was the champion going in, and Rise Maddox. Finish here is Myron Reed hitting a springboard 450 splash and getting the win. Mikowski was just short of getting the breakup on that. Not it wasn't like a botch or anything like that, but like storyline wise, Mikowski lost his championship by not getting pinned, and also was like almost right there to make the breakup. I'd imagine they're gonna do Mikowski versus Myron Reed 1-on-1 for that championship in the near future, and that will be an absolute banger. After that, we had the Soul of PWA title match. We had Robbie Eagles defending, retaining over Cota Hernandez. The finish of this one was a top rope 450 splash to the leg, followed up by the Ron Miller special, which is like an Indian leg lock type submission hold, and Eagles forces Hernandez to tap out. After that, we had the BLP heavyweight title on the line. Raj Desi, the former Jinder Mahal, defends and retains over Filthy Tom Lawler, who had Brian Zane in his corner. The finish of this one was the Coloss, Desi hitting the Coloss onto Filthy Tom to get the 1-2-3. After the match, Brian Zane is like in Lawler's face and poking him and, you know, basically getting in his face for losing the match. So Filthy Tom puts him in a rear naked choke. After that, we had a 6-person tag match, and this involved like a lot of the people that were in the BLP Combine. So we had Jake Hager, Maggie Lee, and Xia Zhao defeating Ash by Elegance, the former Dana Brooke, if y'all did not know. Mike Rawless, who is the former, now I'm forgetting their names, former Riddick Moss and Shaz McKenzie. They had Tennille Dashwood in their corner as well. The former Emma, I'm sure y'all knew that. The finish of this one was an ankle lock by Jake Hager onto Rawless and getting him to tap out. I don't know if they announced the winner of the Combine before this. I can't remember the order that all this happened in, but just for what it's worth, Rawless, the former Riddick Moss, and Jordan Grace wind up winning the Combine for like the men and the women. The Combine it consisted, by the way, of like running the ropes and arm wrestling and like a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. After that, we had Jordan Grace over Rachel Armstrong. The finish of this one was Grace catching Armstrong's leg, hitting a spinning back chop, and then following up with the Juggernaut driver for the 1-2-3. And the main event of the show, we had Jake Something over Moose by countout. The finish of this one was Jake Something hitting Moose with a powerbomb on the ring apron. Moose could not get in the ring before the 10 count, and Jake Something gets the win in the main event of BLP Crowning Glory. Once again, that show is available completely for free on the BLP YouTube channel. Moving on, got results for HOG. This is House of Glory Chicago. Show took place from Chicago, Illinois in the Logan Square Auditorium. The show was live on Triller TV Plus. It took place on September 5th, 2024, and these are the results. We had the HOG tag team titles on the line. It was the Cold-Blooded Killers, a team of Nolo Catano and Raheem Royal, with Jay Armani on the outside. They defend and retain their titles against Bang and Matthews, the team of Davey Bang and August Matthews. The finish of this one here was Bang and Matthews going for the Spears Tower and hitting it, but Armani pulls the referee out at 2 while this is happening. Nolo Catano does miss to the face and then a dick kick, and then a top rope double stomp and gonzo bomb combination onto Bang for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Jay Lyon over Jay Armani, who had Nola Catano and Raheem Royal in their corner. During this match, the referee ejects Raheem and Nolo. The finish here was Jay Lyon hitting a burning hammer and getting the pinfall victory. After that, we had the HOG Cruiserweight title on the line in a six-way match. Gringo Loco defended retaining over Amazing Red, Arez, Darren Richardson, Joe Alonzo, and Robbie Eagles. The finish of this one, during the match, I need to mention towards the end, Darren Richardson hit a wild dive off the balcony, so that definitely needs to be, you know, given some credit for that crazy spot. The finish here was Gringo Loco hitting a base bomb onto Arez, getting the 1-2-3 to retain the title. After the match, Gringo Loco and Amazing Red stare down and show each other respect. After that, we had a non-title match where Ken Broadway defeats Oney King. The finish here was a penalty kick followed up by a Travisplex, which is like a full Nelson into a bridging German suplex, getting the pin. So Ken Broadway over Oney King. After that, we have the HOG Women's title on the line. Megan Bain defends and retains over Smiley Kylie Rae. Megan gets the win after hitting a running flying clothesline, follows up with a tombstone piledriver, and the Megasys retains the championship. After that, we have the HOG Crown Jewel Championship on the line. Zilla Fatu defends and retains over Mustafa Ali. It is a double countout, so technically neither person wins the match, but Zilla is still the Crown Jewel Champion. Basically, what winds up happening at the end of this one is Ali does a suicide dive through the ropes to the outside, over the barricade, into the crowd. So Zilla and Ali are in the crowd after this Tope Suicida, and neither can answer the 10 count. They both slide in, like, as the referee is counting 10. After the match, Idris Jackson attacks both Ali and Zilla, but Zilla hits him with a Superman spike. And then after that, Ali puts over Zilla on the mic and then acknowledges him and holds up the one. And then Zilla holds up the one and both guys hug. So Ali, you know, really putting over Zilla. Not only is it a big deal because of Ali's status, you know, in the wrestling world, but specifically in Chicago, he's, you know, obviously a very, very big deal there. And for him to tell his home crowd, you know, to put over Zilla like that on the microphone was good stuff, you know. Although Zilla didn't beat Ali in the match, that would have, you know, put him over even more, but, you know, put him over nonetheless. And the main event of the show, we had the HOG Heavyweight title on the line. Mike Santana defends and retains over Donovan Dijak. The finish of this one was Santana reversing a spinning lariat with a super kick. Then he no-sells a spinning big boot and then hits a lariat of his own and pins Dijak 1-2-3. After the match, Santana puts over Dijak on the mic and talks about how he respects people like himself and like Dijak who, you know, have put their own careers in their own hands, you know, and they're both where they're at right now. So, very good show. All the House of Glory shows are top tier independent wrestling, you know, events. And y'all know I think very highly of the promotion, and I really, really do. I think their production is great. Their talent is great. The matches are great. They're really, really putting on great shows. And I'm obviously basically a lifelong fan at this point of Amazing Red. And he's, you know, very much to get credit for a lot of the success of House of Glory as well. So great stuff all the way around. And once again, you can check that show out. That is House of Glory Chicago. Moving on, we have results for JCW Lunacy. This is Juggalo Championship Wrestling. See, we normally cover Jersey Championship Wrestling, JCW, the sister promotion of GCW, but this is a different JCW, a JCW that's been around for a very long time, and a JCW that we don't cover very often, but they are putting some more of their stuff on YouTube for free, which is nice. So this show was actually taped on May 3rd, but it's airing, or it aired rather, on September 4th. So I had to wait like 4 months for it to air, but hey, we're going to talk about it now on the Weekender. So this is Juggalo Championship Wrestling, JCW Lunacy. This is from Newport Music Hall in Columbus, Ohio. And these are the results. Oh, by the way, it's available completely for free on YouTube. Just search for Juggalo Championship Wrestling. First match we had was Caleb Konley over Facade. The finish of this one was Facade goes up to the top rope, Konley pushes the ref, and then Konley runs into the ropes so that Facade gets crotched on the top rope, and Konley follows up by hitting a burning hammer and pinning Facade for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a tag team match where the Redwood Giants, the team of Hurtful Kurt and Painful Paul, love these names, along with Eric Smalls in their corner, who is a little person, so it's a little person and two very, very large people. They defeat Brer Wellington and James Ellsworth. Y'all might remember James Ellsworth from his run in the WWE. And yeah, he's where he's at. The finish of this one was it was double headbutts. It was Hurtful Kurt and Painful Paul. I love these names, man. I know I just said that, but it reminds me of like Mean Mike and Tough Tom, Disorderly Conduct, back in the day, WCW. But, you know, anyway. Once again, finish was a double headbutts by Hurtful Kurt and Painful Paul onto James Ellsworth, and they pinned Ellsworth. After that, we had Congo Kong over Tyler Fox. This one lasted less than 30 seconds. This was basically a spinning headbutt by Congo Kong. Gets the win. That was the only move of the match. And the main event of the show, so actually really good match. This was the JCW heavyweight title on the line. Willie Mack defends and retains the championship over Matt Cross. Two guys who are like, you know, Matt Cross, legitimate legend of indie wrestling. A guy who, it's cool that he's still affiliated with the ICP and stuff in any way, because I'll never forget the first time I saw or knew who Matt Cross was through the Backyard Wrestling video games on like the PS2 that included the ICP. So it's cool that he's still doing like ICP affiliated shows. And Willie Mack is one of the most just underused talents just like ever in wrestling. Y'all know how I feel about Willie Mack. I've talked about him for years. It's unfortunate that he's not, you know, a bigger star and like a bigger company, but he's still doing his thing. And like I said, this is actually a really solid match. And I shouldn't say actually, like, y'all know with these two guys, you would expect a solid match, but on this show and in this company, it's a mixed bag and you don't know what you're going to get. But because it's wild, because like the opening match, Konley and Facade was a legitimate match, and Conley's solid, and Facade is one of my favorites. Like, so don't get me wrong, there was good stuff on the show. But then you had like the two middle matches, which were basically squashes. One was a massive squash, just one move. Another one was essentially a squash. And then this match was like another competitive match, good stuff for the title. That said, the finish of the match was Matt Cross going up top and missing his shooting star. He would have went for the shooting star leg drop, but he didn't rotate all the way because Willie Mack moved. So he goes for basically an SSP. Willie Mack gets out of the way, and Matt Cross goes for a sunset flip, and Willie Mack just goes down to his knees and gets the stack pin and gets the victory over Matt Cross. After the match, both guys respect one another and hold each other's arms up to end the show. Once again, that's completely for free over on the JCW Juggalo Championship Wrestling YouTube channel. Up next, we got results for Glory Pro Ascend Episode 49. This is also available totally for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. See, a lot of these shows this week are available on companies' own YouTube channels completely for free, which is very interesting. You know, there's probably a variety of reasons for that happening. I've heard some things here and there behind the scenes from some people involved with some of the stuff, and I'll just leave it at that. But I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, I've talked about it plenty on this show over the years. I love when IWTV had, like, everything, but, you know, they had that stuff with, like, with GCW and the whole settlement, and then the settlement series, and a lot of stuff branched after that, and then Triller TV Plus. You know, and a lot of people went over there, a lot of companies went there, and now it looks like some other stuff's going on where, like, more and more people are going independent and just doing their own YouTube channels and their own websites. So, you know, wrestling is more accessible than ever. I love all these platforms we're talking about, IWTV, Triller, so on and so forth. Like, I'm a fan of everything going on here, and I don't have any real bias outside of, you know, my promo code for IWTV, of course. But that said, I think it's really cool that so many of these companies can put their shows on for free on their own YouTube channels. as a fan and a consumer and somebody who uses YouTube for everything already anyways, it's great that I don't even have to leave YouTube now for a lot of my wrestling. That said, Ascend episode 49, these are the results. This premiered on September 1st. There will be a new episode dropping, like, tonight. By the time you hear this, maybe even, there will be another episode of Ascend. So episode 50 we'll talk about next week. Episode 49, first match we have is Chris Hendricks over Mean Jay Lee. Finish here was a Codebreaker through the ropes, followed up by a 450 splash, and Hendricks gets the win. After that, we had the Women's World Crown first round match, where Maggie Lee defeats Nikki XS. The finish of this one was Maggie hitting a curb stomp and followed up with, I don't know what she calls this move, but it was like a tombstone piledriver setup, but it was basically like the strong zero or the crunchy or whatever you want to call it that that like Trent Beretta does, but from the front, if that makes sense. So it was like a tombstone piledriver version of the crunchy for the 1-2-3 from Maggie Lee to advance in the Women's World Crown Tournament. And the main event of the show was Jake Something over Moses. The finish here was Jake ducking a leap of faith, and then both guys hit the ropes, and Moses runs into Jake hitting into the void, his version of the Black Hole Slam, and getting the pinfall victory, 1-2-3. Jake Something wins the main event, and once again, that is Glory Pro Wrestling Ascend, episode 49, available free on their YouTube channel. Moving on, got some quick results for first Saturday Night Nitro 2024. This show has not aired, to my knowledge, at least by the time that I'm recording this. This was from the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. I've been to the Mall of America, love the Mall of America, and my favorite football team in the world, one of my favorite things in the world. You know, I love pro wrestling, I love MMA, and I love my Minnesota Vikings. And my Vikings, because of that, I've been up there. Because I've had family in Minnesota and North Dakota and stuff in the north, I've actually been to the Mall of America a few times. Have some great memories there. And it'd be really cool. I'm really bad with traveling nowadays because I do not do airplanes anymore. That's a whole other story in itself. But if I wanted to fly, which I won't be doing, I would love to go to a show at the Mall of America and attend one of these first Saturday Night Nitro events. And they obviously have first episode of Nitro vibes for obvious reasons, but I love these shows, and I'm really happy that First Wrestling puts these on. So as far as the results go, I'm just going to read you what I've got here, because once again, I've not been able to watch it. We have pre-show matches to start things off. So it starts off with Matt Honey over Paul Reed and Bill Williams over Atomic Super Thunder Frog. When the show actually starts, it looks like the first match is the first Uptown VFW title on the line. Hyon defeats Jake Parnell to become the new champion. Another big win for Hyon, who's coming off a recent Queen of the Indies tournament win over in West Coast Pro. I think it was West Coast Pro and Prestige joint tournament, if I remember correctly. But nonetheless, Hyon is on a roll right now. Jake Parnell, the former Warhorse, we talk about him all the time on this show. Y'all know how I feel about him. I'm a big fan of his, have been for a long time, was a fan of his before he even became Warhorse. And he's gone through more of like a career and character change and stuff recently, so I'm interested to see how things go going forward for the former Warhorse, Jake Parnell. We got Shane Black over Jordan. We got the Rotunda Rumble. Looks like Darren Corbin defeats Atomic Super Thunder Frog, Badger Briggs, Big Opossum, Free Range Kara, Heavy Metal Lore, Jossie, Matt Honey, Rob Justice, and the Midwest Assassin. So once again, Darren Corbin wins the Rotunda Rumble. We got Ryan Cruz over Arez, Gringo Loco, and Riley Jackson. Nick Nemeth over Brandon Gore. Bussy, the team of Ally Catch and Effie, over Very Cute, Very Evil Mickeyhausen, the team of Danhausen and Maki Ito. So did I say Mickeyhausen? I meant to say Mickeyhausen. But anyway, Maki Ito and Danhausen. Bussy gets the win there. And the main event of the show, we have the first WrestlePalooza world title on the line. Matt Cardona defends and retains over Devin Monroe, the Indie God, the Deathmatch King. Matt Cardona defending one of his many championships in the main event of first Saturday Night Nitro. All right, last set of results we got this week is NXT Level Up. This is Level Up from September 6th. It aired on September 6th, I should say, 2024. I watched it on Hulu, and this is what happened. We had three matches and one backstage segment. Show started off with Izzy Dame over Layla Diggs. Finish here was a big boot followed up by a, I don't know what she'd call it, but it's like a World's Strongest Slam into a side effect for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a backstage segment in the locker room where Danny Palmer is talking to Lainey Reed. Basically, Danny, like, as like a friendly dare, dares Lainey for a match that night at Level Up. And Lainey is more like sassy, and you can tell she's not nearly as friendly, but Danny Palmer's like trying to be friendly, and she has good intentions, just wants to have a match. That match is next, where Danny Palmer defeats Lainey Reed. The finish here was Lainey trying to lock in a dragon sleeper, and Danny Palmer does a backflip to reverse out of it, follows up with a big boot, and then hits a 360 top rope moonsault, gets the 1-2-3. This was really impressive stuff. Danny Palmer has a very bright future in the WWE system, in my opinion. Lainey Reed, I think, is going to be good as well, and I can tell that she's going to have really good character work. She's gonna be a good heel initially. But Danny Palmer's got some real talent. Like, she's somebody, I think, that can rise the ranks fast. It's not necessarily easy to do because there's so many great women in the WWE system. But I mark my words, Danny Palmer will be a star, a long-term star in the WWE. And the main event of the show, we had Dante Chen over Drake Moreau. The finish of this one, at one point, Drake Moreau almost gets the win, as a matter of fact, actually hits a choke slam that Dante Chen kicks out at two. But ultimately, by the end of the match, Dante Chen gets the win with his double palm strike, the gentle touch for the 1-2-3. Dante Chen, just a shining example of NXT Level Up working. And I just think that at this point, I've said it 1,000 times, at this point, I think that Chen really needs to get a real run on like the main NXT show, which he might be. I just don't pay enough attention to it, to be fair. But I feel like he deserves a shot on either Raw or SmackDown at some point in probably the pretty near future. Sink or swim, but I think he'll swim. I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's going to get over. I think he's going to be a really good baby face. I think kids are going to like him. He's solid, and he keeps getting better. And Level Up, is that's what it's all about. Like I just said, Danny Palmer, we've been watching her for a little bit, but like she's super talented. The more I can see her, the better. But she's someone who I think is gonna have like a real run on like the main NXT show. And then, like, let me see how long she's even been wrestling for. I'm gonna look up Danny Palmer real quick, see if there's like any good like cage match information about her. Do that to end the show today because I had a little bit extra time here. So, she's been wrestling for 1 year from Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, her no indie run. And everything we've been watching up to this point, yeah, it's all been either NXT Level Up or everything else on here is like NXT Live, I think. She's been on a little bit of, like, the regular show and, like, Battle Royals and stuff, maybe. But, yeah, pretty much all live events and Level Up. And I'm telling y'all, because we've been watching her for a minute. Like, she's been teaming with, like, Tatum Paxley a while back. Man, yeah, she's solid. Oh, that's right. She was in the breakout tournament against Lola Vice. I forgot about that. That was a quick match, but Danny Palmer's been on our radar for a minute, right? I mean, we've been covering her for a little while here, but it's only been like a year, and she's only had like not that many matches still in her career. Still very, very young career, but keep an eye out for her if you haven't already. I'm very high on Danny Palmer. So yeah, once again, very solid episode of NXT Level Up, and that's gonna do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I almost forgot the name of my own show. You can follow me on X at @FightTalk_. You can hit the like button if you enjoyed this show here on Fightful Select. Appreciate hitting that like. Please use code FightTalk on independentwrestling.tv, and please watch the spotlight On the main Fightful YouTube channel, every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of indie wrestling. And the plan, as long as nothing changes, the plan for this week's guest on the show for the interview should be Darian Bengston, who is the current reigning defending TWE champion. So we talked to a lot of people recently and throughout the entirety of the history of the spotlight itself. We've had a lot of people involved with TWE on the show. And now we're going to have the champion on the show who's been doing great work and also recently appeared on Ring of Honor. So we're looking forward to that conversation, and we got more interviews lined up for y'all in the coming weeks. So once again, subscribe over there on the main Fightful YouTube channel. Watch the spotlight, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time with myself and Jeremy Lambert. And that's going to do it. Till next weekend, just professional wrestling and Skull Vikings.